This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
NFC East Division odds, the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott expected to return, the plus 125 favorite to win the division. Washington football team plus 360. The New York Giants plus 350. The Philadelphia Eagles are 5-1. VSiN's Wes Reynolds on the NFC East.
Dallas, I think, is a rightful favorite because they are getting Dak Prescott back, assumingly healthy. And he was putting up career numbers before he got hurt, but the defense was not putting up career numbers. They were really bottom of the barrel in the league. So that's why Dallas, I think, tried to address this in the draft. Sean Lee, of course, retired. So maybe the heir apparent is going to be their first-round pick, Micah Parsons, out of Penn State. So this team has to improve, I think, defensively. Offensively, I'm not worried about these guys because I think the running game was so down with Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard simply because the offensive line was banged up. So if you have a healthy offensive line and the Cowboys finally realize, hey, we can run the ball behind these guys, this offense is going to put up big time numbers. But it did the defense. Did they make enough ground? And I'm not convinced of that.
VSiN's Wes Reynolds on My Guys of the Desert weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. NFC East Division odds, Dallas plus 125, Washington plus 260, the New York Giants plus 350, Philadelphia 5-1. On the Lombardi line with VSiN's Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher, Lombardi says that the Cleveland Browns could be an improved team. Their odds to win the Super Bowl 14-1, their over-under win total 10.5.
I think that they're a team that they can control the line of scrimmage. The weather shouldn't bother them in Cleveland because they can actually run the ball. They've got one of the best offensive lines in football, which we know that. Their defensive line, you know, they got your boy Clowney, so they've improved tremendously. But with Myles Garrett in there, that certainly helps them. They've added some defensive players, especially in the secondary. So, yeah, I think the only obstacle that you worry about with Cleveland is are they going to have that letdown? Are they going to feel like, hey, we got this. We were a playoff team. We won a playoff game. We can do this. I think the fact that the Steelers aren't going to be as nearly as good as they've been in the past with Big Ben, I think the fact that they play a third place schedule is certainly helpful towards them. And look, they have balance. And the way you're going to have to beat Cleveland is you're going to have to get in front of them and make Mayfield play from behind. You're going to have to make Mayfield throw from a drop back pass regime, which is not what they want to do. This is not a knock on Mayfield. This is just the style and the play. If you want to beat Cleveland, you have to make them play from behind. If they get ahead of you and they can run all their play actions and they can do the things they need to do, they become really problematic. And I think defensively, the biggest challenge is how much improved are they on defense? Will Clowney help them? Will Garrett help them? Will Garrett continue to play as he did? Will the new speed on defense help? I think those are all the questions you have to answer, and I think they will. I think the schedule certainly helps them.
VSiN's Micah Lombardi on the Lombardi line with Patrick Maher weekdays, noon to 2 Eastern, weekends 10 to noon Eastern on VSiN. Cleveland Browns are 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. Their over-under win total, 10.5. Be sure to check out the new betting splits feature on VSiN.com before you place your next bet. Every day, we're posting the latest splits for games at current odds and what percentage of bets and money are being placed on each game. You can track which teams are seeing the most tickets written, and if that matches the money coming in on those games, to help you find a betting edge. Betting splits plus the live odds, line moves, and game analysis makes VSiN.com the place to visit before you place your next bet. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Before you place your next bet, visit VSiN.com for all the latest data and powerful betting tools. Start with our live odds, team comparisons, and previews for every game on the schedule. Then dive deeper with live tracking of betting trends and line movements. And don't miss our unique tools, including odds comparisons from sportsbooks across the country, prop bet search engine, and custom parlay calculator. Everything you need to increase your betting knowledge and confidence is at your fingertips. Visit VSiN.com today. We'll be right back.
The spring sports calendar is packed with betting opportunities, and our VSiN experts are on top of all the betting action. We're looking at early season baseball trends, the NBA and NHL playoffs, tracking the favorites and long shots for every golf tournament. Cashing tickets is our goal, no matter what sport or season. And this spring, you can count on the VSiN experts to stay on top of every angle. Start your free trial today at VSiN.com/subscribe and put our team to work for you.
It's the final hour of VSiN Bet Center on a Saturday night in Las Vegas. We have so much to talk to you about for the next hour or so. Back with Josh Towers, former big league pitcher. I'm Ben Wilson. Thanks for joining us on a Saturday night where we have so much going on right now. The U.S. Open, which we get back to in just a moment. We've really been tracking this entire afternoon into evening on the West Coast. Also, NHL playoff action getting underway in mere moments, along with a huge Game 7 in the NBA. So, Josh, let's start this hour. Dive right in. At Nassau Coliseum, NHL playoffs, big game four tonight between the Lightning and Islanders, defending cup champion Lightning up 2-1 in the series here. And they were a pretty big favorite, at least by, conventional playoff standards. They were in the minus 130 range. It's not, I guess, huge when you think about the other series going on, the Montreal Canadiens and Vegas Golden Knights, who have been a massive favorite in all the games throughout that series. However, Josh, Islanders getting a little love here. They've been bet down to as low as a plus 107 underdog at the South Point, where our other VSiN studio is across town. Minus 117 to take back there on Tampa Bay from minus 127 earlier in the day today. Really the big story and really the big handicap here. Total, by the way, it's either 5 with a lot of juice to the over minus 130, or 5.5 underjuiced at minus. I'm seeing underjuiced as high as minus 155 behind us. Here at Circa. And the story all series, Josh, has been Andrei Vasilevsky, outstanding goalie for the Lightning, who stopped all but one shot in that 2-1 win the other night to give the Lightning that 2-1 series edge. I guess when you try and handicap a game like this, you're basically thinking, okay, we've already seen this one hot goalie go through one Stanley Cup playoff run, which we saw last year and was almost unstoppable. We're kind of seeing that play out in the same way in this playoff season. So when you look at some of these numbers on the board and these current odds, courtesy of DraftKings, they have the 5 flat total with heavy juice to the over. Anything you look at like this when you've seen how hot Vasilevsky has been in goal for the Lightning?
It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Knights at Colorado when Las Vegas loses game one, clearly, and then a little slow, but then picked up the second half of the, even though they lost game two, the second half, the second period, third period, they played better. It looked like they were the better team, but they still lost. And then obviously they go back and they win game three, and the momentum carried over. And it's the same thing I kind of feel like with the Islanders. Like the Islanders, they controlled the pace of the game for the final two periods. They outshot Tampa, I think 21-14. At one point, they had 10 straight shots during the second period. It could be the momentum they need at home to win this game and get back in the series.
And keep in mind, you're at a raucous house, Nassau Coliseum, and you're exactly right. That was the big takeaway was, man, these guys really did outskate the Lightning for pretty significant stretches. They just could not get anything past Vasilevsky. So
they could shuffle their lines tonight, too. I mean, there's talks about that as well. I mean, they have been offensively challenged a little bit. They shuffle the lines. They kind of spark a little bit, kind of, you know, create some intrigue. I mean, they're not just going to sit here and do the same things. They're going to do some things differently, right. But they've been playing good. I mean, sometimes it gets overlooked. You know, winning hides mistakes. And I'm not saying Tampa's necessarily making mistakes, but I just think that the Islanders aren't that big of dogs. And I know the lines are based off of and predicated off of Tampa being the champs as well, so they're getting a little bit more respect. But I understand if money's coming in on the Islanders today. I get it for sure. I mean, I kind of lean them a little bit as well.
I really do respect this Islanders team. I don't have a good read on this particular game in game four, but I do have a feeling this is one of those series that will go at least 6, if not 7.
And this will be the game they need to win for that.
Exactly. Would potentially go down 3-1 in the series. So if you had to make me play this, I mean, I would just lay the juice, take the under here. I do think it'll still be a tight, low-scoring And you could take under 5 with actually some plus money there, or lay about $1.55 worth of juice to take under on the 5.5. But I'm kind of with you. Yeah. I lean Islanders. Don't have enough conviction to play that, but I mean, understand where that movement's coming from, why people think, yeah,
at home, they
will
they
make
good.
This a series tied at 2-2.
And we're seeing it, too. We saw it the other night. I mean, I know it was a fluke goal, how the Knights gave up the tying goal, but the same thing, it doesn't matter. You got plus money on the road. As the home team, I should say, sorry, the home team, mm-hmm. we were favorites. Like, same thing here. The Islanders are getting plus money at home. I mean, it's hard to go broke betting plus money at homes on good teams.
And just underdogs in general in the NHL playoffs. Right. There is so much variance that I bet the Canadiens plus 425 to win the series. Not that I really believed it would happen, just that.
You bet against the Las Vegas Golden Knights?
Well, I had a Golden Knights future. So I had.
Oh, I got you.
I had multiple. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had multiple. I had to take
a good number.
No.
Respectful?
Define respectful. Plus 115 after they were minus 200 in some spots after the Colorado series win.
Okay.
I got plus 115.
All right.
Not the.
You're still plus plus.
Far from the best number. Not the worst number. Not the best number. So that game again, Lightning and Islanders. This will end up closing again. Puck drop in just a couple minutes. This will close. Lightning at Circa behind us minus 122. You see it, DraftKings, a little more money on the Lightning, minus 127. Take back on the Islanders, plus 110. There is another big playoff game coming up. This one, a game 7 in about a half hour, tipping off also in the New York area, and that is the Milwaukee Bucks and Brooklyn Nets, game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals. We actually saw this game open with Milwaukee, a 1.5-point favorite yesterday. Seems like all the money, the entire world on Brooklyn in this game, as the line now currently sits 2 market-wide. And even on the East Coast, now up to 2.5. That is the high watermark there. With a little money coming in on the over, this was a game that, as if anybody has followed this series so far, way under a 220 total in Game 6. So they've dropped the line. This was a series that had, at one point, a total of 228, 229. Well, 215 was the opening total here. It has been bet up to 215.5. Josh, for those who do not know, I am a native of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I am used to playoff failure. I am used to being disappointed. I am not going to bet this game because I have futures tickets on both the Bucks, and then I did get off of them. I did take the Nets in the middle of the series. To both of those futures bets are on those teams to win the East, so I'm not going to play this game.
Yeah.
But if my life depended on betting one side, no way I would be taking Milwaukee here. And the books are, and I do know from talking with Derek Stevens, who is here at Circa tonight, owner of the Circa Sports property in general, the books are in desperate need of a Bucks win. They are big Bucks fans tonight. Because you think about, look, the coaching history, Mike Budenholzer, and how brutal he has been with in-game coaching adjustments. You think about how awful the Bucks have looked on the road in the 3 road games so far in Brooklyn, including the 17-point loss that they blow in Game 5 that everybody now knows is the Kevin Durant game, scores 49 points in 48 minutes. It is really, even though there is a clear pathway, Josh, to victory here for the Bucks, and that path is pretty simple. It's move up and down the floor, make James Harden, who cannot move, make James Harden, who is in the starting lineup, active tonight. Harden playing alongside Kevin Durant, as you'd expect, Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, Blake Griffin in the starting lineup tonight, with the injuries for Kyrie Irving continuing to sideline him. The path is simple. You move the ball, you get up and down, you use your length. Giannis and Antetokounmpo and the Bucks, they finally started to attack and crash the offensive glass in Game 6, which worked out really well. Giannis had 17 rebounds in that game, a high for him in these playoffs to this point. So you move the ball up and down, you make Harden defend, you double-team Durant, or you put Giannis on Durant.
Simple.
It's a pretty simple strat, and you hit some shots, you get Chris Middleton in a rhythm. Now the question is, do I trust that the Bucks can execute what is a pretty simple, to me at least, pretty simple adjustment in game plan and overall strategy? And the answer is a resounding no. There's no way I trust Mike Budenholzer and the Bucks to go into Brooklyn in an insane environment tonight.
Is it because they lost 3 there already?
It's that, and it's what we've seen the entire Mike Budenholzer tenure, which is lack of in-game adjustments in his time in Milwaukee, and really the lack of experience hurt them in big spots. Chris Middleton has had enormous home splits, but pretty brutal road playoff splits. He has been a no-show in a lot of these big games, and for as good as Giannis Antetokounmpo is, a guy who can't make free throws can be rendered at times obsolete in big playoff games. He finally stopped settling for outside shots, did not attempt a three in game six, but all signs point, even with it being a basically one-legged James Harden and no Kyrie, all signs point to Brooklyn for me. I'm not going to bet it. If anything, I would try and in-game this because Milwaukee's gotten off to really good starts each of the last four games and then have completely fallen apart. So I might in-game this, see if I could get Brooklyn at a plus price if I really wanted to get in and play this. But those are my five minutes, Josh, on
what is
being a hurt Milwaukee Bucks fan for the last 25 plus years.
Is it mental? Or is it, I don't think, we still don't believe we can beat the Nets? Like, why am I getting out to big leads and I'm giving it back?
No, I think it is mental. There's a big element.
Is it Giannis trying to do everything? Or is that not the case? Like, there's something happening here. They're clearly good enough to beat this team. They have not won on the road, however. They blew a big lead, you just mentioned. No reason to do that. So what is it? Like, yes, when KD wants to take over a game, it's over. Like, he can do whatever he wants. He's arguably the best player in the game. So you have to figure out where his failures are and try to keep him in those positions, whether you buy an inch or whatever the case may be. But the Bucks have the ability.
There's no question.
Am I trying to do too much as an individual athlete? Am I not trusting the system? It means so much to me. I feel like this is all mental, first off. You talked about the free throws. I don't necessarily think that's necessarily the case, but yeah, you have to. I mean, look at the game last night. We're talking about free throws. Atlanta loses by five. They shot 54%. They were 13 for 24 from the line. Yeah, you might want to make the ones that are called free if you're in the NBA. I get all that, but I think it's more than that in this game. I think the Bucks are the better team because the Nets are not at full health.
I think that is a valid statement.
I have to play the game, right? So if KD shows up and I got a 50-75% Harden, Kyrie can't play, whatever it is. I mean, we still got to play the game. I get it. It makes us kind of more equal because the Nets were so loaded. But it's something up here. Why can't I finish the game the same way I start the game? Is it the pressure of we're coming close and the game's on the line and we have a chance to win and so I get a little tentative? Like, aren't we past that as the Bucks? We've been in the postseason long enough. Like, what is it?
Well, I think a lot of it
too much from the
line perspective. When this series was 2-2, when the Bucks won game four last Sunday at home and we saw Kyrie go out and we knew Harden was already severely compromised, I think a lot of people thought made the exact point you just did, Josh. And you look at every factor and you say, okay, there is no reason, there is zero reason for all the facts that we know being laid out with all the injuries for Brooklyn. There is no reason Milwaukee should not win this series. They are the better team with the injuries we just laid out being the case. And even with Harden coming back at less than 50% right now. But they were a 3.5-point favorite in that road game five. So to me, it's certainly a huge combination mental, along with just being unable to execute in the big moments when it matters most, particularly on the road. And I don't blame bettors for doing this because a lot of bettors bet Milwaukee up to 3.5 in game five. You looked at games, game six was, I think, one of those games too where you could tell pretty early on. Brooklyn knew that there was so little left in the tank. They had to kind of keep some of the reserves open, not go completely all out in game six. It was not that surprising to me, at least, that they did not win that game. Because the whole time, Brooklyn knew, all right, let's just get this back to game seven. We know Milwaukee's uncomfortable playing here. We know that their inability to make these in-game adjustments, and even if they do, we still at least have some sort of plan. It might not be the best plan in the world because we have James Harden playing on one leg and Joe Harris has been, I think, 5 of 24 from 3 over the last four games, and you would like for him to be more efficient. When you look at all that, there is just no way I trust the Bucks in a spot like this. There's no way. And maybe that's part of this is the cynical fan having seen this time and again. Like, I remember the first playoff series I remember as a kid was the 2001 Eastern Finals against Philadelphia when the NBA was...
Do you feel like betting wise, because I think about this with the Baltimore Ravens a lot, knowing them so well, do you feel like you know so much about the team that it's a clear advantage betting, or do you feel like you know the team so well, but from a fan's perspective, you tend to stay away more because the heart's involved and you always want to see success?
I think there is each definitely, there's definitely a factor of both of those. I have found that I feel like I've had a pretty good pulse on this Bucks team, at least the past few years. As you get to know a team really well, I had a ticket on Miami. They were plus 425 in that series, and I bet Miami just because you could see from a mile away the Bucks were in complete disarray. Now I also bet them 6-1 this year to win the East coming into the playoffs because I really did feel like they had made the necessary adjustments, and that experience of a demoralizing loss to Miami in the bubble and going back to the loss to Toronto a couple years ago in the East Finals would really prepare them for a run like this, along with adding a guy like Jrue Holiday, who, look, in all honesty, has struggled offensively in a lot of ways. Right. And this is a Bucks team that is not getting anything from their second unit, which I think a lot of us knew would be an issue coming into even just the season as a whole. It would be a second unit that would need some reinforcements and some help. They tried that with bringing in P.J. Tucker midseason.
3 points last game.
But it's been rough. And guarding Durant, like, they know going in. They know Durant will score 30. They've actually boosted Durant's points prop, by the way, to 35.5. Like, they know they don't really have a legitimate way to stop him. Even though they do, it's right under their nose. It's play the reigning defensive MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, on him. But for some reason, Mike Budenholzer will not do
that. What about Middleton last game? Not Milton, sorry, Holiday. 1-for-10 from threes, but everywhere else he was very efficient. But yet he's still trying to bang down the threes.
That's the thing. I've been surprised at the series. That's why after game three, I bet on the Nets to win the East, just because, like,
it's one of those things where, like, am I trying to do too much or just do what I'm...
Great defensive player, but he's had a rough... So anyway, we won't talk anymore over. About the struggles of me as a lifelong Buck fan. All I know is you're betting the Nets, you're not alone, and we'll see if they can they can do it in Game 7. We'll track that gets underway.
I do like the over in this one.
We'll give you a U.S. Open update as well on the other side right here when we return on VSiN Bet Center. Back on VSiN Bet Center, where I just laid out a moment ago why I'm kind of tepid and worried about the Milwaukee Bucks. Game 7 against the Nets, that starts in about 15 minutes. Nets a 2 or 2.5 point favor right now, total at 215 or 215.5. Back with Josh Towers, who likes the over in that game. All right.
I do.
Way to be more positive than I am, at least because, I'm a cynical Bucks fan.
Optimistic might be. I don't know. I mean, I just think that they have
it. We need the optimism.
I think they have it, man, the Bucks. I just... there's something internally that's holding them back. And again, I don't know if it's the big three all wanting to be the guy and not delegating, overly delegating. Like, I haven't got to watch the games close enough to make a full assessment of what I think. I think talent level, they're there. I think that they've proven through many quarters of the series that they can be the better team regardless of the combination of who's on the court. Again, Kevin Durant's the X factor. I think that... I don't think he gets enough love for being the best player in the game, if you want to know the truth. Just what he does is fantastic. So I get it. I also think that the Nets, there's just so many inconsistencies as well. Again, we talked about it. Like, what we really thought that these three guys were going to be healthy all postseason. They played 8 games together all season or whatever it was, 7 or 8. And then all of a sudden one gets hurt, the other comes back, and KD's still the staple. And then the rest of the guys, they did a great job of bringing in veteran pieces to complement all the way around to finish out the roster on the bench, but beatable. But then again, when the Bucks collapse, that's maybe too harsh of a word.
That's a fair word.
The Nets don't, and why, right? What is it? We'll just let them take the lead, and then we know they're going to fold, and we'll come back. Like, no, that's not the mindset the Nets have, right? Like, so, again, there's more to this, and you got to know how to finish games, right?
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see pressure if the Bucks aspect.
I think they 100% have the ability to do this. I don't think they're underdogs.
I hope that path you laid out, and that's the books originally set Milwaukee as a 1.5 point favorite. Line has switched there. So anyway, I like your optimism. The fan who's been burned so many times, I just don't have it. That is, again, a look at the series as we go to Game 7. By the way, there is one of the playoff games we've already previewed that is underway now, and it won't surprise you that a game that has already been, or a series that has been low scoring throughout, the Lightning and the Islanders, nothing.
Right.
Just over 7 minutes in, and the Lightning out shooting the Islanders 7-1 to this point. Live total down to 4.5, with the over actually juiced to -145. Lightning go off at about a -115 favorite. With all that shots advantage that we've seen out of them, they've looked like the better side. They have gone up to -135 in the live betting market. Take back +115 on the Islanders. All right, let's go back to the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines.
Can we fade Wolf tomorrow? I want to find matchup plays.
We're going to get him in a little bit. They're still out on the course right now. We'll get him.
I've already got a circle. I'm going to fade him every time.
You've already faded Matt Wolf. Matthew Wolf, who is 2 over today, currently playing the 18th hole. But the big story has been the guys who we all expected to fade. There were really 3 of them. And honestly, I would say the third, Mackenzie Hughes, not even on anybody's radar, who was 2 under coming into today. But Richard Bland, 4 over today as he plays on his 17th hole. So 1 under for the tournament. He was the co-leader with Russell Henley, who has been fantastic. Henley did, though, drop a shot on, I believe it was the 16th hole. Excuse me, the 15th hole. Henley drops a shot to fall to a one-shot edge over Mackenzie Hughes. But Hughes, on the very birdieable 18th hole, does get in for birdie. 3 under round for Mackenzie Hughes, who was 350-1 pre-tournament, 80-1 heading into today. He's now 5 under par, share of the lead with Russell Henley, who is on the birdieable 18th hole, about to tee off, with Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau safely in the clubhouse at 3 under. Louis Oosthuizen, he is just over the green in 2, actually on the very back edge of the green in 2, so he's got about a 60-foot eagle putt. If Oosthuizen can 2-putt, he'll get to 4 under, 1 shot off the pace, with Scottie Scheffler and Jon Rahm each at 2 under par in the clubhouse. Rahm, who was your pre-tournament favorite, in-tournament favorite heading into today, has really fallen off the pace thanks to a 3-putt to double bogey he had to take on the 14th. He's now 9-1 in the live market. Henley, though, 4-1 at the moment as, by the way, Richard Bland, another bogey. So remember that prop we talked about? Richard Bland over, I think it was 72.5.
Five bogeys, no birdie.
Yeah. Look, great story. Great story for Richard Bland, but the guy was 1,111-1. And
all these guys in the top 10 have a chance tomorrow.
Outside of...
All these guys.
Probably outside of Richard Bland. Although he's not in the top 10 anymore. If you bet in the top 20 market, tied for 14th up through, I believe, 22 is all even pars right now. Number of big names at 1 under par. We'll run through the rest of the leaderboard as we wind things down. Tell you about Louis Oosthuizen's chance at an eagle putt to tie for the lead we return. We'll get to that right after this here on VSiN Bet Center. The NHL and NBA playoffs are here, and our experts are covering every angle to find betting edges. VSiN hockey expert Andy McNeil is tracking all the NHL action, and our senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel has all the hoops insights. Our experts and the entire VSiN team give you all the tools to make the most of every bet on the playoffs, including odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com. And our daily members-only best bet emails. Now is the time to cash in on the playoffs. Sign up for your 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. They are underway at the Barclays Center. Speaking of,
call it a day. It's
playoffs.
Over.
6-0 Bucks. Early threes by PJ Tucker, Brooke Lopez, but Kevin Durant answers with a deuce. So 6-2.
Is it too early to bet Brooklyn? Is it too early? Not good enough line yet.
They're +1.5. I don't know.
Let's wait till the Bucks get up 18.
We're a minute into the game.
Where's he throwing the ball to?
This will close, by the way, at Circa. Some late money in on Milwaukee. -1.5 Brooklyn. Right. 2 everywhere else. Maybe they were listening
we
to Josh
them.
Towers instead of me.
Come on, 215.5, Bucks.
Your total as this thing is just underway. KD just drains a 3. So
somebody's
KD,
gonna have to put their hand in his face.
90 seconds in. Hey, remember when I said
he's pretty good?
Remember well, and that the Bucks, there was a pretty simple strategy they needed to do to defend him.
You don't pass the ball to nobody and throw it out of bounds and then let him come and drop a 3 on you.
There's Giannis. There's, you know.
Brooke Lopez is at 1-3 already.
That could be all his problem is Giannis trying to go to the hoop, getting triple team, kicking out to Brooke Lopez for three.
That might be the problem.
That's not going to work out too well all game.
Part of the issue, too, for Milwaukee, and even in Game 6, where they won, 89 of the 104 points they scored were by their top three guys.
I might want the seven-footer down there near the hoop.
That might help. Harden for three, and wow. Are you kidding me? Total flop, and they call a foul on Antetokounmpo. The guy can't move, Josh. That's ridiculous.
Let me see this. Let me see what I think. I never even touched him.
No contact. There's literally no contact.
I don't even think he touched him. Watch Harden's foot.
I give up.
It landed on Giannis's foot. And they called it a...
Yeah, but he basically stuck his leg out.
No, for sure. That's what he does.
There's no reason to get into this because it's the worst rule in the NBA.
It's such a bad rule. I agree. I think that should go to review. What did Giannis do? He put his hands up.
His feet were on the floor. They're never going to overturn it.
Harden jumps, lands on me, and I fouled him.
Got to be changed at some point in the offseason.
Let me change.
Remember, we went to break. We were getting ready to watch Lou Eustazen line up a 51-foot eagle putt. Well, as soon as we went to break,
Drano,
what a sweet stroke, cans it from 51 feet. Lou Eustazen. About an hour ago, I said, yeah, I'd like to play Louie in a matchup tomorrow at like 2 under. Well,
that's why you bet it when you said it.
Unfortunately, I did not at that moment because he is now going to be in a matchup with it depends on the actual final grouping, but it's Eustazen with the Eagle, who now moves to your in-tournament betting favorite at plus you see on DraftKings 335. He and Mackenzie Hughes in the clubhouse at 5 under. We'll see if Russell Henley can make birdie on 18. He's currently 5 under par right now in the final grouping. But this is things are taking shape for Sunday. McIlroy, DeChambeau, 3 under par. A couple nice names. We'll see if they're grouped together, tied for fourth. Not sure if they will, because likely one of them will be paired with the trio of one of the guys at 5 under. But then some other big names as well. Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Matthew Wolf, all into the clubhouse at 2 under par. Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, big names, along with Kevin Streelman, Christian Bezuidenhout, 1 under par. Rounding out your top 10 as we run through that leaderboard, see the trio of guys in order. It is, as you'd probably expect, Eustazen at the top. I am seeing right now DeChambeau at plus 450, your second betting favorite. McIlroy 5-1, your third favorite, with Henley plus 550, Mackenzie Hughes at 9-1. So much for that hypothetical Eustazen over Wolf matchup with both of them at 2 under.
I don't think
we're going to get that. Instead, it would be, do you want Louis at plus 335?
I mean, Henley
still
has a
chance. He's going to be there, right? I think it's, look, to me, this is between Eustazen, McIlroy, and DeChambeau. Not to be Mr. Chalk, but it's hard for me to envision a scenario where one of those three guys are not your champion. Just hard for me to see that. As great as
so,
Henley and Mackenzie Hughes have been so far. That's just the reality when you're looking at a U.S. Open at Torrey Pines.
What are we looking at? Like, you look at like Mackenzie Hughes, 73, 67, 68. Very, very consistent. Louis, 67, 71, 70. Pretty consistent. Henley's been the same way as well. Do you look at that? Just overall tournament? I mean, all these guys up top, really just the only bad day might have been like plus one or plus two. And then, you know, you get in the swing of things is... Like, I look at Colin Morikawa put a 75 on the board. Does that scare you, or no, he just had a bad day?
What was weird about the 75 for Morikawa is that he was driving the ball great, and he's been the best approach player on tour, really, over the past year, but especially the last 24 rounds for Morikawa. And he was just kind of off with the wedge game, and his putting was atrocious. He lost, I think, 3 strokes on the field in putting, and he's a guy who historically has struggled with putting on these surfaces. So... a guy like Morikawa, I think the 2 rounds we've seen out of him since, where he got back to even par yesterday, 1 under round today, that's more indicative. But I at 4 back, like I have a top 20 ticket on him plus 110. So I'm already invested in Morikawa, but
so 25 to 1. Yeah.
I actually don't hate that number. Rahm, who I invested in overnight at plus 450, he's now 10-1. And I still expect him to go low tomorrow. But again, you're now 2 back of both McIlroy and DeChambeau, who I think the winning score to me, what I don't know if you would set this at, Josh. I'm just looking at the leaderboard. weighing the options. Don't you think you're going to have to get to 7-under win this thing? Don't you think 7-under is your winning score?
I don't know.
Or at least it forces a playoff. Don't you think 7-under?
I don't know. I see some regression.
I think 7-under.
I mean, if McKenzie and Louis go even or, you know, somewhere between -1 and +1, I'm not going to be shocked. I think Rory's very capable of putting up another 3-under. You never know with Bryson. I mean, you know.
I could easily see McIlroy or Bryson, one of them. I mean, we just saw McIlroy shoot a 67 today. I could see another 67 from either of those guys. DeChambeau was 68 today. So I could definitely see it.
I'm telling you, DJ's going 6-under.
That would be 7-under. Dustin Johnson 1-under right now.
What's his number? What's his price?
Dustin Johnson is 25-1. Same with Morikawa. I actually think DJ is a good fade tomorrow because he gained almost 5 shots putting today. He really hasn't looked that sharp, in all honesty. But he putted.
No, coming in, I agree.
He putted, and even most of the tournament. But he putted the lights out today.
And it goes back to Casey and Spieth, where they were talking about. They just there was no pressure to do anything. It was like a free round of golf, and they were just having fun. Can we find some people in those same exact positions to where it's just a good time, and then we find matchup plays on that? And is even or -1 those numbers or no? Talk about them, right?
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure it out. We got one more segment left here on Visa Bet Center. We'll update the NBA game underway as well as the NHL playoffs and take you through the 18th hole final groups at Torrey Pines. That's next in our final segment here on Visa Bet Center. Looking to hire? Indeed will help you speed up the process. They have 135 skills tests to help you find the right candidates faster. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It's our final segment on VSiN Bet Center. A lot to get to in the next 11 or so minutes. Thanks so much for spending a part of your Saturday night with us. Josh Towers sitting next to me. I'm Ben Wilson here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are to the 18th hole with the final grouping. Russell Henley actually has to get up and down from the bunker on what's been a very birdieable 18th hole. If Henley can get up and down, he will join co-leaders Louis Oosthuizen in the clubhouse at 5-under, along with Mackenzie Hughes, the Canadian, who had a fantastic 3-under 68 today. Oosthuizen in our last break did move to from 330 to 3-1, your live tournament betting favorite, with Bryson DeChambeau behind him at +450, DeChambeau sitting at 3-under par, 2 off the pace. Rory McIlroy, the third betting favorite at 5-1.
That's my guy.
Also,
him and DJ
at 3-under. So Henley out of the bunker. He has all the green to work with. Should be able to get this pretty close and funnels it down to about 7 feet. So he has that left for par. Would certainly be disappointed in a par here, but
yes,
that's better than the alternative at this point. So we'll see what Henley can do there. Still no score at the Nassau Coliseum. Islanders nothing. They are out shooting the Lightning are out shooting the Islanders at this point, 11-3 so far, as we play it looking pretty late now in this first period, 2:32 to go. In-game betting was just momentarily suspended, but I think when this will get reposted, Josh, we'll see this in-game total now probably down to about 4. Went off either 5 or 5.5, and if you bet a 5.5, you had to lay a lot of juice. Meanwhile, I'm trying to not convey the fact that my heart is racing at about a million miles an hour because the Milwaukee Bucks, my hometown team, in a game 7 against the Brooklyn Nets. It's, you know what, an interesting start because we've seen the Bucks jumped out to the early 6-0 lead since then. Big run for the Nets as they went on a 15-6 run. However, Giannis Antetokounmpo did just draw a foul, and he's going to the free throw line where he is a whopping 21 of 46.
Listen,
from the line so far. So just underway in that game. The pace is right about at the total. 215.5 is your in-game total, which is not where it closed.
Your Bucks had a 6-0 lead to start this and blew that right away. The fact that they're down two, still two.
Throw.
The fact that they're down two.
Shocker.
They should be thankful.
I tell you, I'm shocked.
They should be thankful. They look awful. I mean, listen, the one thing that stands out the most is Brooklyn's moving without the ball, creating good pass opportunities and better looks. And the Bucks do not. Whoever has the ball, that's the dude that's going to try to score. And then everybody else just stay right where you're at. And then once he can't, because everybody guards him, he has to look around and kick it, and they can't find nobody, and then they fumble the ball, and sometimes they find somebody, and sometimes they don't. They look awful, man. They don't look like they have any plays. They're not moving. No units. I don't know, man. Like, I asked you during the break if they're poorly coached. Like, that's what it looks like to me. I mean, and I know they're not, but...
Oh, they are.
I'm shocked that they're in this game right now.
It's not like I did, you know, it's not like I spent like 8 minutes talking about how bad of a coach Mike Budenholzer is. Giannis, though, does have 7 early points.
He's 3 for 3.
On 3 of 3 shooting. It's just he had drawn an and one, missed the free throw.
Harden is the best at drawing fake fouls.
Don't get me started. 15 apiece as we're just underway between those two teams. There's also a UFC fight card going on tonight. That is one of the UFC Apex cards here in Las Vegas as you get the Korean Zombie. Who doesn't love that? Oh, that's what a great nickname for Chan Sang-jung against Dan Ige going off tonight. Name. As of this morning, Jung a minus 125 favorite over Ige at plus 105 with the over on the over 4.5
rounds.
Korean
Zombie was favored today.
Earlier today.
Not favored anymore.
And looking at some of the steam here, kind of amazing when you look at that because things, and I should say not as of this morning, as of when this opened earlier in the week, it's really been, to your point, one-way action on the betting. Ige now as high as minus 160.
Wow.
In the market right now. Yeah.
160.
160
at circa. I saw 130 a little bit ago.
Lowest price you can get if you want Ige minus 145. Any thoughts you have on this fight?
I do like Ige as well.
That number too steep, though, as with all.
It's just
the steam
tough when
in.
You had him at plus money, and now you're talking about on the 145 to 160. Again, I saw it at 130 a few minutes ago. Just a lot of action on one side. A UFC is different. Fighting's different, so it's not as easy as like we look at the Dodgers versus the Diamondbacks, right. And everybody goes, "Oh, we're betting the Dodgers." Walker Buehler's pitching, the Diamondbacks can't win. It's not as simple as that. I mean, when it comes to UFC. There's more to it. A lot of people probably don't know these guys' names, even though they've been around for a little bit. I do like Ige, and then we have the co as well. Olenek versus Spivak. Olenek's a big dog. I think he was as much as plus 220. That's just kicked off right now as well, so no betting on that. But I do lean towards Ige in the fight in the main event.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you've already played today?
I took the dog in this one. Just,
you did.
Just because the boys in the back said that he was going to get killed. So I went against him on purpose.
So you took, you went against Spivak.
I did. I took Olenek. He's a veteran, man, and I get it. Spivak has two losses. I think it was plus 220.
Yeah. This closed at circa plus 225.
That's the only reason.
Minus
I really don't have that much interest in betting this fight.
On Spivak. We'll see what happens.
And then the other fights we had, they were 2 and 2, but they were both plus money, so it's always nice when that happens.
That's what we call profit.
Yeah.
The business. Okay. By the way, Russell Henley, really solid par punt. He drills it at 18, so he is in the clubhouse. It's our final look at the U.S. Open. Henley, Oosthuizen, and Mackenzie Hughes, the Canadian, all at 5 under as we go into Sunday. At Torrey Pines with Oosthuizen, you're 3-1 in tournament favorite right now. DeChambeau plus 450, McIlroy 5-1.
I can't wait for Rory to just out-drive Bryson all day tomorrow. Just with that pure, beautiful swing, no effort. He looks like he's in great shape, man.
Rory's game does look like it is in a pretty good place right now. Right, and he wasn't even that great putting today. He gained all his strokes around the green. He was fantastic with the touch, playing out of the rough and the bunkers today. So that is your latest update from the U.S. Open. Again, tomorrow we'll have a full day dedicated to covering the U.S. Open with the Green Zone. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds, our host of Long Shots on the network, 3 to 6 Eastern. You will be back on the desk, Josh, with Jeff Parles. I believe Greg Hoops Peterson will be here.
I think Hoops will be here. I'm kind of bummed Scheffler didn't birdie 18.
He had a chance at birdie to get to
3 That would have put him right. I mean, he's still right there, but that would have, I don't know, man. You know,
Rahm, Scheffler, Matthew Wolff, all 2 under par, tied for 6th, and a group with Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, Kevin Streelman, Christian Bezuidenhout, all at 1 under par, including Xander Schauffele, too, in that group.
What's the lowest round we've seen in this tournament? 67?
Yeah.
We've seen nothing lower, huh?
That's why I'm saying I think 7 under wins you the tournament, and I think between McIlroy and DeChambeau, one of those guys gets to 7.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think that's where we're going to end up. And there's the final look at your day three leaderboard. Again, we'll have full coverage tomorrow until 9 p.m. Eastern time here on VSiN Bet Center. We've been a lot of fun action today on moving day at Torrey Pines at the U.S. Open. By the way, they also, going back to the hockey for a moment, they have made it to the end of the first period without a goal scored so far. Lightning, Islanders, nothing. And I mentioned before, okay, you're probably going to see this live total down to 4. Well, now that we've reached the intermission and we still have not seen a goal, as you can see on your screen, it's down to 3.5, and the juice coming to the under, minus 129 there. Lightning, by virtue of how they really dominated that first period, Josh, they had, I think, 7 of the first 8 shots on goal. They are now from a closing minus 115, 120 favorite up to minus 150 on the live money line. Islanders coming back, as you can see there, plus 118. Here in Las Vegas, those numbers are a little bit tighter. Lightning minus 145. Behind us at Circa, take back plus 125 on the Islanders. So there we go. And as I look up at this game 7, that's where we'll look at the final few minutes of the show. Kevin Durant.
Give me to update you? On your boys?
I've been watching out of the corner of my eye.
I'm telling you right now, I'm not biased towards anything because it's the NBA and I don't really.
Biased toward your best.
I had Kobe. I like Kobe. There is some bogus fouls being called on your Bucks. I mean,
That's like the least surprising thing you could have ever said. Pat Connaughton,
yeah,
airballed
the Rich Harden thing, but
well, Giannis
that
picks it up and puts it in. So
KD just
works.
Lost the ball going up to shoot. They call a foul on Tucker. He's losing his mind. Like, there's been some bogus fouls. I'll give you that.
23-20, but and actually, be honest, he drew a foul on the way up. Look, I said earlier,
can Giannis take over the game like KD? Not, I mean, I know
yes,
he's not quite KD, but
right, it's totally different. But with the caveat of he can if he's consistently making free throws, because at a certain point you just start hacking Giannis.
What level of free throw shooting is he on? He's not on Ben Simmons.
I mean, it's bad. Close. It's bad. There have been a lot of comparisons made to how Shaq looked early on in his career, where people just it was the hack of Shaq. That's where that was born out of. Giannis is in that same ilk, same category. But I would just say what you just said about the refs is somebody who. First real memory as a kid of playoff basketball was the Bucks 76ers game 7 in the East Finals when it was pretty obvious based on the officiating that the refs wanted and the NBA wanted Allen Iverson versus Kobe in the finals. I don't say that with any, you know, bitterness
at all. I always think like
we've been down this road before. As a small market team.
These games go so fast that sometimes there's automatic whistles. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, automatic travel. Well, we see travels. They don't call, but then it's like, oh, if they ever do this little one crossover, then it's automatically they must have shuffled or traveled, right? So I think that the speed of the game, the whistle comes out a little bit more, the player itself. But again, like, there's got to be like a split second process in my brain. And I know I want to call it right away, but it's not always as simple as that. I just think that, again, the pace of play at major league games, whatever sport it is so fast. And that's why you have to be highly prepared as a referee as well, or official, whatever, right. An umpire, because you're trying to keep up with young Bucks, man, trying to do this thing, and you're trying to be on their pace. But it's hard. I just think that there was a couple obvious ones. Now, we have different views from a camera's perspective, but
this is funny
right there,
too,
man.
In game. So total right now, 219.5 or 220, I'm seeing. Circa hung a pick'em for a second. It's now Nets -1 in game. At South Point, it's Nets -2.5 right now. So quickly, about to end the show. Who wins this game?
I still got the Bucks. I mean, I don't
right.
Listen, they can overcome. Everybody's
who
against them.
Who wins the U.S. Open?
Oh, that's Rory.
Taking Rory?
Yeah. Rory or DJ? I think DJ's
going Lightning or Islanders. For nothing. End of the first minute.
I tried to get the bet in. I couldn't, but I would have been on the Islanders. I would have been on the Islanders.
I like that's what we try to get out of here. Rapid fire. Josh, you'll be back tomorrow. It's going to be a fantastic Sunday on Father's Day. Cannot wait for that. We thank you for joining us. For Josh, I'm Ben Seng. So long, this has been another edition of VSiN Bet Center here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.